It's 25 minutes past nine. You're on Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
I'm really delighted to have in the studios this morning a very good friend, first and foremost, and secondly, a person who I believe is a leader in the industry in which he performs on a daily basis, and it's none other than my good friend, Michael Johnson, who is the current CEO of Tourism Australia and Accommodation.
Tourism Accommodation Australia.
Thank you, Michael, and also for Australia, and takes on an incredible role. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Good to be here.
And it is. It's really delightful to have you. And I've got to say, Darren, I know Michael through many things, but in particular, his philanthropic and generosity of providing for many, many communities in Western Sydney in a previous role where Michael was the CEO of the Park Royal and still has a fondness for the Park Royal. I think before you left, you were part of all that new growth and extensions and so on, and a magnificent building and what you did there. Michael, the role you've taken on now is pertinent in terms of having some dialogue to tell our listeners, because the hospitality world in Australia in particular has been really rocketed by the COVID-19.
Look, absolutely devastated. It's interesting, Jim. I've mentioned a couple of times recently that this year I hit 40 years in the industry, so it sort of went pretty quick actually, but it has been 40 years, and we've seen pilot strikes and September 11, SARS, MERS, the GFC, the Asian economic crisis. So we've seen so many things that have actually had detrimental effects to our industry. If you put all those together, that's what we're dealing with today. We've never seen our industry devastated in this way. To see actual closures right across the country, to see hotels closed, in excess of 400 hotels closed across the country. I'm talking about accommodation hotels. Of course, all the pubs closed when they did the lockdown for the pubs, but all the accommodation properties, all, and even, as you say, my wonderful Park Royal in Parramatta, it had to close in April, and rightfully so. No business. You can't stay open. So they closed. I'm pleased to say they have reopened now on the 26th of June, and they're doing a little bit of business. And when I say a little bit, there's bits of business around. But realistically, if you think about all the drivers for our industry right across the country, we don't have any international travellers. They're out. We don't have any international conferencing, which really fills our CBDs every day of the week. We've got big conferences going in the ICC in Sydney. There's nothing. There's nothing happening. The conference hotels here locally in Parramatta, again, Park Royal, 13 conference rooms. There's no conferencing. So you've got no conferencing. You've got no international travellers. You've got no corporate business, because no one's travelling corporately because we're all cautious of the COVID. So there's no corporate travel. So it really comes back to there's a little bit of leisure business. There's no major events, of course, although we're starting to see a little bit. But interesting, even on the weekend, I know South played West at Bankwest Stadium. You think, oh, that'd be, I think there might have been 1,000 people there. We're not seeing people really getting out and about yet. Mm. And so what that means for hotels is very low occupancies. There is a plus, though, in our regions. Great to see our New South Wales and particularly Sydney siders that have all been locked down are all moving around in the regions, particularly over the school holiday period.
And Michael, you as the conduit between the organisations and the consumer, what is your organisation trying to do to try and bring about experiences and different things? I know it's so challenging, but it would tip you upside down, but I know how positive you are.
It's interesting because I think as I mentioned, we're starting to see people get into the regions, and our organisation also works with Tourism Australia, Destination New South Wales. These are great people, I have to say, Jim. I have to yell out for Tourism Australia and the tourism bodies in each of the states, because they're working hard, and every time they go a couple of steps forward, they come a couple back. So we're just about ready to launch a domestic campaign, and we close the borders to Victoria, where, of course, you've got a very big, Victoria represents about 16% of visitor nights into New South Wales and Queensland. So if you, you know, you close that border, then all of a sudden New South Wales doesn't get that business, Queensland doesn't get that business.
Michael, sorry to interrupt, but listeners, you need to understand when people give you metrics, what we call metrics, when they give you data, and we just simply, you made a comment, but I think we need to reflect upon that, the intelligence that you have. So can you just go back 16 nights, you're saying?
16% of all visitor nights, domestic visitor nights into New South Wales come out of Melbourne. Now, there's 122 million visitor nights that we have in New South Wales accommodation hotels. That's our visitor nights. That's not just hotels. That's also in visiting friends and relatives.
Mm-hmm.
16% of those, you can work it out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. A lot of visitor nights not happening at the moment while those borders are closed.
And so, Michael, that's just accommodation. Yep. It's not with food or entertainment or a whole range of ancillary or secondary
multiplier
effects.
All the visitor economy stuff that comes with it. Yeah, it's quite phenomenal. And so I think that's why, and again, the same with Queensland. So it's great we've seen the Queensland border open. So that's a step forward. So New South Wales can go now into Queensland. And I know they're struggling at the border. It's taking some time to get over because we're dying to get into the heat.
Mm.
But of course, that's been stymied. So one step forward with the Queensland border, two step back with Victoria. It's a real difficult. Of course, yesterday we heard South Australia have closed their borders to New South Wales now as well. So again, it's a tough time at the moment.
So Michael, Darren here, just talking through those things of one step forward and seems like it's five steps back at the mm-hmm. moment. How do you try and keep on top of the changing situation as far as border closures, lockdowns? We're hearing might be level four within Melbourne and things like this. You think that you've learned everything from our first series of lockdown and we're kind of coming into a brave new world again where it's all a bit different. Rather being wide scale, it's more localised.
Correct.
As we thought we might have had initially. And so we're getting that now. How do you guide the association to change and adapt swiftly to respond to these sorts of things?
Look, I think from Tourism Accommodation Australia's perspective, we're quite lucky. We're a division of the Australian Hotels Association. So what that means is that we actually have relationships in every state. So we have a division in every state. We're actually, we're federated, not similar to our government. So every state, we have a CEO, and we communicate on a regular basis, so we know what's going on in every state. Every one of our CEOs, and you would have seen our New South Wales CEO yesterday speaking with the Premier mm-hmm. on her press release saying that the Australian Hotels Association New South Wales is working with government so that we didn't see everything go back into lockdown yesterday.
Mm.
We saw some restrictions come back in, but we didn't go into lockdown, and that's because industry is working with government. So we're doing that here in New South Wales. Guess what? Our CEOs are doing that in every other state as well. So we've got a national overview because it's interesting. If you think about, you know, the whole country was put into lockdown overnight through a national body. But the actual reopening of the country is all based on state-based. So you've got this, as you say, Darren, it's really a difficult situation and we've got to stay on top of it. I was previously communicating with my members here in New South Wales on a monthly basis. I'd do a nice newsletter and put it out and a bit of a word from me and some of the interesting things going on. We do that daily now, sometimes twice daily. There's so much information and we have to sift through that information and ensure that we're getting out to our general managers in particular and some of our key stakeholders, owners of hotels, etc. This is what's happening. This is happening tomorrow. This is coming up. This is what we feel is going to happen because they're going to make decisions and they're really tough decisions.
Twice daily communications, that must keep your team busy. How do you keep your team engaged? I know marketing and things like that can be quite difficult. How are you managing with your team?
So we're having a daily briefing. We have a daily briefing with our directors of the team, and that's every morning. And we do that via Zoom because we've all been in lockdown since March the 16th. We're just starting to get out and about again now, but that's worked extremely well. And then it is a constant communication. And it's daily and it's as regular. And of course, the other side of it, which a lot of people don't realise, the IR and legal side of things, when you're dealing with, you know, all of these hotels have got a couple of hundred staff. Do you know what I mean? That's a lot. Mm. It's a lot of people that we're dealing with and trying to keep that information. And we're working with governments to ensure so when JobKeeper came in that we could align our ward with JobKeeper. We were successful in getting that through. Now our focus is to ensure that JobKeeper extends, because all those things I mentioned earlier have put our industry, it's just devastated, it's still devastated. All of the CBDs aren't operating anything in excess of 30% occupancy. You can't make any money on 30% occupancy. So we're really working with government. We've just done a submission to the Treasurer, to the PM's office to extend JobKeeper until March next year for our industry.
Michael, in terms of employers and the industry, approximately how many people are involved directly? I know that's a tough question.
I was going to say, directly and indirectly, we're looking at about 900,000 people across the country in the hospitality and hotel sector. And it is quite phenomenal. And it's interesting because we're getting snippets or what I call green shoots. You know what I mean? If you go up the Blue Mountains at the moment, Jim, I get so encouraged to see people. Do you know what I mean? I was up there earlier this year in bushfire time. There was no one. It was the saddest thing to go to the Blue Mountains on the 9th of January and not see a tourist. It was so sad. Mm. To walk into hotels that normally would have 300 for lunch, not one person. Kitchens closed. So it was a disaster to see what the bushfires did. Then we started to see a little bit of green shoots in February, and then of course COVID hit, and of course we're back into it. So it's nice to be able to go back to the mountains, to be able to go up to the Hunter Valley, to go to Port Macquarie or down to Batemans Bay and see tourists back in the space. I tell you, it's really encouraging.
Michael, we've run out of time. Can you believe that, how quickly things have moved? On behalf of Darren and I, we would like to extend an invitation for you to come back. Listeners, one of the things that we're very fortunate, Darren and I say this with the greatest sincerity, that you may not see, but we hope you hear it through the voices, is the animations and the commitment, Darren, that Michael shows for his industry. I was just watching your eyes, and people know me pretty well, and how you have such a great commitment and dedication to the people you serve. I want to tell you what I've seen, and I know Darren has, this morning from you, and you're to be applauded for that.
Thanks, Jim. No, it's an industry, like I said, 40 years, I love it, and I feel for our hotels out there, and I'll certainly do, and my team will do everything we can to get them through this time.
Thank you very much for joining us on
Thanks
Spotlight
me,
on 90.5.
Thanks, Darren, for having me.